Today's Tuesday, June 26th, and we're using a different lens than we usually use.
How exciting. Hot new changes.
Speaking of hot new changes. Hot new changes.
Hot details.
We were trying to come up with, well, I don't know. Intel CEO Brian Krasnich, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Krasnich, read a lot about him lately, has resigned as CEO after violating the company's non-fraternization policy. But when we dig into it, it seems like there's a lot more going on here than just dating a coworker while he's married.
Non-fraternization means don't bang. Don't dip your pen in the company ink, as they say.
Intel Inside takes on a whole new meaning.
But when you look at the details, and there were several articles about what you're talking about, he actually married his, I don't know if it's current wife or his last wife, soon-to-be ex-wife maybe, in 98, and she was an Intel employee. They both were. I don't think he was upper management at that time.
Mm.
So maybe not, you know, didn't have to follow that rule. But they also talk about a lot of people, whistleblowers, have come forward anonymously and been like, you know, it's like the supply closets at Intel are busy places and everybody knows it. So this is not really something that was a secret.
Well, and it seems like the information and the evidence that we have is that the relationship took place some time ago. And, you know, honestly, it's 2018. You don't know that the wife is not okay with it yet. I mean, it's probably going to be a divorce and all this other kind of stuff. You don't know. I mean, it's 2018. You don't know.
But is it? I understand what they're doing with the whole ethics policy. That's what those things are in place for. And the managers do have power over the underlings. I mean,
yeah,
it's probably a really good paycheck to work at Intel. And you could climb that corporate ladder, you know, backwards.
There is literally no one that is not subordinate to the CEO, in other words. So,
yeah.
But
still, like you say, it happened a long time ago. And a lot of these whistleblowers are saying everybody knew. It was the worst kept secret in the company. So the theory is that this really didn't have anything to do with his improprieties. It had to do with his performance. But you have to be careful and saying that your CEO is incompetent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, I mean, look at all the stuff that Intel has been experimenting with or tried to do. I mean, they've got the video card, they've got the Internet of Things stuff. The Internet of Things, all those people were laid off last year. And the 10-nanometer production problems are creating real problems for shareholders. I don't think most of the board really understands what Intel wants to do. I mean, I see some of the Brian Krasnich stuff as trying to hedge their bets against manufacturing problems, because maybe they'll sort out the manufacturing problems with 10 nanometer, but what about what comes after that and what comes after that? I mean, we're at a point where there's like 5 or 10 atoms in a transistor. So it seems like he was trying to diversify Intel's portfolio, but I think there are those in Intel that just want to make microprocessors, and certainly they've burned a lot of cash doing that on those business ventures.
I think there's people at Intel who want to make money.
Yeah.
And for most of his reign, if not all of his reign, they've kind of been uncontested. And all of a sudden, that's not the case. All of a sudden, they're playing catch up and not doing it well. So I think, yeah.
I would say that it's not, I would say not just AMD. I would say that they were uncontested in a lot of areas, but they missed the boat on AI because NVIDIA has taken over. I mean, that could have been Intel. I think they missed the boat on a lot of Internet of Things and mobile phones, and they've been trying to catch up, but they haven't really gotten a lot of traction in that market. I mean, they came up with ultra low power x86 for phones, but, you know, even trying to, for the video cards, trying to stuff x86 in a video card, the board could be looking at that and it's like, wow, we had all these market opportunities and all these verticals and we just fumbled every single one. So of course it's more complicated than that in reality, but I don't know. Time will tell. It's going to be interesting to see who Intel selects. You got any bets on if they're going to pick somebody that is like diehard PC components or somebody that is more about diversification?
The big trend is usually to bring in a successful CEO from a totally unrelated industry, which seems bizarre, but they do it constantly.
That didn't work out for Apple when they brought in the Pepsi CEO, so I don't know what they're going to do for Intel.
I think a CEO in a tech company should actually not necessarily be that technical. They should understand most of it, but why would you have that person making decisions? Why not the people who are actually the Aspie geniuses who are figuring this thing out? Like, yeah, you do the big moves, but it seems you know, if he made all those calls, he made a string of terrible calls.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're going to go after this market now that there's already two or three first movers in this market. It's like, oh, Intel, you're a little late to the party. Sorry.
But hey, good news for the market, right? I mean, the more Intel suffers, the more it has to be more realistic with its pricing, and the more it has to try hard to catch up in all these places. And maybe we get a third competitor. Probably not, but maybe.
Maybe we can finally do away with this Xeon Gold, Platinum, Silver, Bronze garbage, because it's gotten better in terms of power utilization, but it hasn't really gotten faster. It's gotten slightly faster in benchmarks, but real world, we've been stagnant for 5 years. Maybe we'll see a change finally.
Although what might happen is they bring in some, you know, new guy who's like, I'm going to rethink everything. I'm going to be radical. We're going to abandon this whole CPU arms race, and we're going to go, you know, with like cloud and software as a service. And that's going to be our world. And then AMD takes the top spot and becomes Intel.
Yeah. AMD's got to grow about, they've got to double in size like three times before they approach Intel's size.
But they will, the dystopian nature of them will quadruple in size during that time. So they'll become twice as evil as they become powerful.
Speaking of companies that are hideously evil and doing hideously evil things and don't for a second believe this smokescreen, let's talk about Verizon. Verizon and all, I think a couple other mobile carriers, Sprint and T-Mobile, weighed in on this. AT&T has not, to my knowledge, although, AT&T has as well. Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint and T-Mobile have pledged to stop providing information on U.S. Phone owners' locations to data brokers.
This is Securus. Remember Securus? I can't remember what the intermediary company was. So the phone carriers sold it to the intermediary company who sold it to Securus, who tracked you with it, or who sold it to law enforcement and other places who tracked you with it. So these guys are cutting off that company. They're not saying they're not going to stop selling location data. They wouldn't agree to that, but they're going to stop selling it to the feed that eventually goes through Securus.
To be completely fair, the language is varyingly ambiguous depending on how evil the company is. So I think that T-Mobile and Sprint provided a more comprehensive statement, and Verizon and AT&T are just like, we're cutting out the shady middlemen, as Ron Wyden referred to them.
Yeah, that's kind of actually where the article was like, maybe they're just going to start selling it directly because they'll make more money that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think for a minute that your phone isn't tracking your location at all times, because it is, and it's very easily searchable.
Well, and we've got the Supreme Court thing coming up. I don't know if that'll be in this episode. It might be in the next episode. This is mostly business.
Right. Government is next episode.
Yeah. So if you want to hear about the cell phone location, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's totally a thing. But
that is different.
Yeah, it is.
Because that would not affect this, I don't think.
No, it would not. It's still voluntarily giving up data, but it has to do with capturing the data. And you can still get it retroactively after the fact. So we'll figure that out. Hawaii AT&T workers say the company urged them to use unethical tactics and then fired them when they were having problems with that.
Yeah, these guys were the sales team. And they talked about practices such as, if there was a fee, so you're going to buy a new phone, for example, and they're like, there's a $15 activation fee, or you could just sign up for DirecTV instead, free trial, and that's illegal. Shouldn't be doing that. They would sign people up for, like, they could sign them up for, there was a $35 limit. If you said yes once, then they could sign you up for multiple things up to $35 legally.
Hmm.
Not ethically. It was against company policy, but these sales, like,
coaching,
I guess,
material?
Oh, it's like the managers, because, you know, these are just little call centers. They're not like in the building with them. They were given quotas. You got to meet this quota. So they were just cheating every way they could to meet these impossible quotas.
Sounds about right. That's like, now company policy says you're not supposed to date the interns, but we're going to look the other way until it's convenient.
The one guy gave an example. Now, of course, these are fired workers. So do we trust them implicitly as well? Maybe not. But he claimed that they each had their little iPad, and they'd be on the phone. They'd use the iPad. And his manager was like, you need to start doing this. He's like, we can't do that. That's against the policies. And his manager took his iPad out of his hand, filled one out, and he was like, no, I did it. Now you can do it. And handed it back to him.
I murdered a hooker and put her in the trunk. Now you can do it too. It's but like, that's not how that works.
I'm not sure. The article didn't make it clear if the manager got fired. It might have just been the plebs.
No, probably not. Seems unlikely. Because everything, every time we've read about an incident like this, it has been like, oh, these company employees at the call center went rogue. We've got company policy. But the reality is that no. And attorneys general seem to be powerless to investigate it and actually do anything about it. But it is totally unwritten company policy to behave this way.
Oh, and they talked about all of the different ways they pit them against one another. It was like a hyper-competitive who can sell the most type of marketplace. And you actually got written up and talked down to if you didn't meet all these quotas, which were nearly impossible. Unless you cheated.
I knew some people at a call center, and they would actively fight over the people. Once they figured out who in the list was elderly, they would fight over who could talk to the elderly people because they were very likely to just go along with whatever.
Just like hyenas and the old buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's AT&T, and what sort of terrible, unethical things are being done. We see how it is. Speaking of unethical things being done and workers having a problem with it, Amazon shareholders to Jeff Bezos, please stop marketing the facial recognition tool. So here are people in a grocery store, and they're using, you know, a high-resolution camera to just zoom right in on people's faces, do face recognition, and track them.
Yeah, this was going to be for law enforcement. And I think the ACLU or the EFF or somebody published a big paper about this. It was kind of going under the radar, and you know, because Amazon wasn't press releasing it. It was just for law enforcement. And now that people have figured it out, the shareholders, it's interesting how they approached it, because their approach wasn't like, oh my God, you're evil. The approach was, look what's happening to Facebook. We will not let this happen to our stock price. You must stop.
So what you're saying is that if we had a way to do this completely secretly and under the radar, and we could collect all this money as shareholders, it would be fine, but the public must never find out.
That seems to be the way they were approaching it. Although maybe they were just speaking Bezos' language, you know, because they know what motivates him.
Well, you know, I'm back from Computex, and one of the things announced at Computex was the Intel 8086K, a specially binned version of the already existing 8700K that is 5 gigahertz on one core, out of the box. And AMD is trolling Intel with people that enter a contest to win. So Intel's giving away 8086 of the new 8086 processors. It's a collector's item. It's basically a 40th anniversary processor. It's not like actually something that you should buy. Like we've tested it. It's not actually, there'll be a video on that. But if you just get an 8700, it's like $100 cheaper, or maybe over $100 cheaper. But you could enter the contest and win. So AMD has said, hey, if you are a contest winner, you can trade your 8086K for a 16-core Ryzen Threadripper. Catch is that you have to be a contest winner.
The next contest is going to have in the fine print that you're not allowed to resell or trade or otherwise ever give up your one CPU.
Now, Intel is notifying winners that they won, but they're not actually shipping them the CPUs until October. So that might be a little problematic with trading in your 8086K for a Threadripper 1950X.
Well, I mean, there's still going to be the same performance versus performance in October. So,
well, I don't know if the AMD, like, if that's too late. Like, AMD wants you to send the 8086K before you actually would take possession of it.
Well, it's open to people who buy them too, right?
No, it's just the contest winners.
Well, then
they're only doing it for the first 40. So like the first 40 people to apply to the AMD thing will get a free Threadripper.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's kind of just being trolls, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not even like they're just trolling.
That's just a cheap headline right there.
They're wanting people like us to include it in their news programs and announcements to be like, "Lulz."
You know, that's kind of the new viral marketing, because, like, you know, the Wendy's Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, angry, abusive advertising is the hot new thing.
Oh, I like it. Wendy's trolls the other Twitters, and most of the time, the other Twitters, like McDonald's Twitter, does not respond.
Well, they used to try to, but yeah, they've learned that. But this is the same way, you know? I mean, like, they did a contest to try to drum up some things, and then you just did something mean to take the information, and it worked. It's a great ruse. It's not, again, not very ethical, maybe.
How many retweets for free processors for life is that? Instead of free chicken nuggets for life. Tesla CEO, new tent assembly line is way better than a conventional factory. Not sure we actually need a building. This tent is pretty sweet. That does not ring true to me.
Well, they showed off, actually some people leaked some footage of this tent. It's a very interesting concept. A lot of people question is like, wait a minute, you're building cars, battery-powered cars. Don't you need to control the temperature and dust and dirt and all that? And he was like, it's fine. It's comfortable. Everybody loves it. He's actually talking about maybe scrapping plans for the next factory and just putting up more tents. So, although the anti-Tesla people were quick to point out, there's a giant parking lot next to these tents, which is still empty. And you're supposed to be making, what, like $5,000 a day?
No one is actually in the tent.
It's just the parking lot is for finished Teslas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the tents are just people fixing all those parts that they were sending to machine shops around the area.
There's a new Twitter account that just leaks tent footage and that you can watch. And it does look like a lot of those guys aren't doing anything. Hmm. But, you're seeing one tiny sliver of the tent line, so maybe they could be doing stuff in the back. I don't know. Maybe it's just still working on the assembly.
Maybe Musk should worry less about Twitter and focus on other things, because clearly he's a smart guy. He can figure stuff out. I just don't think Twitter's that important.
Twitter is very important to him. Actually, this is our Tesla block, and we have a later story where Twitter, once again, will weigh in heavily.
Tesla is also closing a dozen solar facilities in 9 states. So I was fascinated by this because solar is doing better than ever. I don't understand why. These are just the installation, like the dealer installation, like the salespeople, and they're also ending their relationship with Home Depot.
When I read the Home Depot thing, I was like, we did that story, and it was like, how many months ago was that? Turns out it was February. They just announced the deal in February. Now it's over.
But half their sales came from Home Depot.
I think it was 60%. I was reading about the history of SolarCity, so this article points out a little bit of it, is that this was Musk's cousins that created SolarCity, and things weren't going well. I think they got some of those Obama-era solar subsidies, and then those ended, and they were like, oh, that's a problem. We don't actually make money. And then Musk tried several times to put it before the Tesla board to buy these guys. And the board was against it. They were like, oh, I don't think so. Hmm. And he was the chair of the SolarCity board. And they were like, you can't be both. So he actually had to step down to get that done.
Wow.
So it looks like the skeptical board members might have been right that buying SolarCity was a bailout for somebody. And it was bad for Tesla.
Hmm. It's interesting. It's surprising because solar is doing better than ever. And solar is an industry. The price has come down to the point that people are actually considering it. And doesn't California have the law that, all new homes built must be solar ready or something like that?
It's not for a while, but yes, that will be true. Also, we have the Chinese tariffs for solar. Yeah. So domestic solar should benefit greatly from that.
Yeah. The Chinese production of solar panels is extremely impressive at this point. There is a lot of, having gone to Taipei for like 5 years in a row, a lot of buildings had done some type of solar conversion, and there was a lot of solar that you could see in the city. There were just solar panels everywhere. So I think that's a sign. I mean, just the lower production costs and everything else. I know a couple of people that have the solar, like the Tesla solar thing plus Powerwall, and generally they've been happy with it. Paul's Hardware has that, and I think he's pretty happy with it. So it's just surprising that they would shut down amid the tariffs and everything else.
Could just be, mismanagement. That's just bad business. Musk does maintain that he believes the solar portion will eclipse the automobile portion eventually, even after this setback. So,
with rising energy costs, you can get, you can run your hot water heater and all your electronics in your house for free from the sun, basically. I mean, we're living in the future. It's exciting. You know what's not exciting? The NHTSA sending a cease and desist to people that make an autopilot defeat device. So basically this is a thing you stick on your steering wheel so that the Tesla autopilot thing is like, oh, you're totally touching the steering wheel. I'm not going to harass you, and I'm going to try to drive myself. And it's like, it's probably not a good... That's actually not safe.
It's a brilliant little device. It's a weighted magnet that you put on one side of the wheel. So it feels like it's gripping it, but also putting just a tiny amount of torque. So that's all your hand. Like if you just rested your hand on the wheel, you would be gripping it plus pulling it very, very imperceptibly in that direction. So it perfectly mimics. Like they can't beat it in software. So yes, it's been ruled that this is maybe not a terrible idea. I'm usually against like, hey, I bought something, you can't tell me what I'm going to do with it. But when you put it on a highway, that changes because you're killing people.
This is not unlike the people that have modified like a chaise lounge or like a Barca lounger to be, you know, highway ready. It's like, this is not a highway ready vehicle.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Bad idea. Terrible idea. And it was like, I think they're $100 or $200. Yeah. Not cheap.
There is a 3D printable model for something like this that I think you can add some household items to it and it works. Mm. But there's a 3D printable defeat thing as well. So
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. That's kind of silly. You know what else you shouldn't do? Steal gigabytes of data from Tesla if you work there. Tesla has alleged that an employee has stolen gigabytes of data from the company and they're going after them. And this was actually fairly sophisticated, apparently. According to Tesla, this employee made it look like it was coming from other employees.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, their word against his at this point. And I'm sure it is going to go to court. They're going to sue him. But this is what I was talking about. This guy just keeps emailing and tweeting Musk, and he won't stop replying. Like, he just can't help himself. And you know there's a group of advisors like, you have to stop doing that. We're going to win this, but we might not if you keep engaging with him. And he must defend himself and put this guy down. But if it's true, you wonder what this guy's motives were. He might be, because there are these big short-selling collectives for Tesla, people who believe it's going to go to zero, and they do everything they can to undermine them. And you wonder if maybe he's involved in that.
I don't know. Speaking of companies' stock that is going to go down a whole bunch, I don't know, not really, maybe, possibly. Let's talk about NVIDIA and the business side of NVIDIA. And this is kind of related to the GTX 1150 or new graphics cards and all that kind of stuff. But NVIDIA appears to have a GPU inventory problem. So this kind of makes sense maybe why we didn't even hear any hints of a new graphics card out of Computex. According to this, in China, we're talking an unsold inventory returned to NVIDIA of over 300,000 high-end graphics cards.
Yeah, and the demand that they thought, so NVIDIA seemed to assume that once the crypto thing cooled off, the gamers would be so thirsty for cards that they would run in and fill up all that space. It doesn't seem to be happening. Of course, the prices haven't really come down.
It came down a little.
Maybe they thought that just the inventory being there would be enough. But that is coming, that's not true. And that's happening, that's not true on top of, what are we at, still at $6,500 Bitcoin?
Yeah.
And
Bitcoin's kind of low.
I think there was another Bitcoin heist or something this week. Oh, we didn't even cover it because it's like, how many do you cover? And yeah, bad news. All this stuff, they really, really missed their prediction here. So
this is what happened to AMD the first time there was a crypto buzz, and it really depressed the graphics card prices. So I think NVIDIA is going to have to slowly trickle these out onto the market until they don't have an inventory problem anymore, or only release an insanely high-end flagship part that is even more expensive than whatever they've already endured with these. But it's hard to imagine graphics cards, like the theoretical super high-end card being more expensive than the GTX 1080 Ti at its most expensive during the crypto craze. It's hard to imagine that you would get more money out of it than that.
I don't think the world economies are robust enough to deal with that.
Yeah.
People don't have that kind of spending money. That's just a ridiculous expectation.
Yeah, and I have seen GTX 1060s available for $250 to $285, which is, for the 6 gig, is a really good deal. So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in shareholder reports, which is where we're going to get our news, because NVIDIA is, like them or hate them, they are great at disinformation. So you're going to have to work backwards from the shareholder reports and the shareholder information to suss out, how much of a problem this inventory backlog really is for NVIDIA. But as long as they've got an inventory backlog this far and no real competition in the market putting the squeeze on them, we will not see any new products. Makes perfect sense. I mean, it's the business decision. Shareholders would be upset if they did anything else. So, well, we're finally getting flying cars. Audi and Airbus have teamed up to get the green light in Germany for this flying car. So, Germans, good news. You're getting flying cars.
Yeah, but bad news. If you saw that and you got real excited, they're autonomous. Yeah. So you will not be flying the flying car, which that's the whole point of flying cars, right? Who wants a flying car that you can't fly?
I don't know. The flight kind of scares me. So it's like, okay, I could see this. And in the city, if there's like a million of these buzzing around, I mean, I saw the beginning of the Back to the Future movie. It was a mess when they were flying around in the skyways or whatever.
They also had, there's another picture of it somewhere where it's got wheels. So I think that it could be, yeah, so that one's got both. I wonder if that's going to be a modular type thing where it could land you and then the rotor's off, and you're like on top of a parking garage, and you just drive to where you need to go.
It's going to be nice when these, like the electric batteries in these, it's like, oh, we've got a full charge, and you take off, and you get 10 minutes into your flight, and it like turns out those batteries are defective, and it's like, we need to go down now.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have like a, well, no, they probably couldn't have enough chutes to slow down something that heavy with all those batteries. Maybe you just jettison the battery and glide.
Oh, your dystopian future awaits, Germany. Maybe we can go like level one field trip. Let's go to Germany and check these things out. BitTorrent is selling for $140 million to Justin Sun and his blockchain startup Tron. So BitTorrent, how do you sell? It's like it's open source. It's not a thing. Well, it's the people that came up with Bitcoin are selling the algorithm.
Not Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Peer-to-peer.
BitTorrent. Sorry.
Yeah. BitTorrent was the first company that really made peer-to-peer into a business. And they have constantly been trying to find other ways to use it other than piracy. But it's kind of been branded at this point. So I think they were really looking to get out of the business and do something else. This guy has got his own crypto. And he wants this crypto to be like a media sales thing. So like we've seen some people try this where you make a movie and then you use the blockchain to roll it out, and people use cryptocurrency to watch the movie, to pay to watch the movie. So it seems like he wants to do that and use peer-to-peer as a way to get it propagated out to whoever buys it.
That would be a really low-cost way to distribute something, assuming that it was sufficiently popular. Because BitTorrent, whether you like it or hate it, as far as distributing a lot of information really quickly, it was really good at that.
Well, I suspect that the way they'll deal with that is seeding will mine currency. So if something is unpopular but there are a couple people looking to get it, you would get a much higher rate of return than if you're seeding, you know, Avengers Infinity War, which no one wants. That would be a way to get around that.
You know what the hotel business really needs? Alexa in every room, said no one ever.
Yeah, they were quick to point out that it won't store your voice communications after you check out, which means it is storing them while you're there. So if I go to a hotel room and it's got one of those, I'm unplugging it immediately. I mean, that's crazy.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, what does it, it's like you walk into the hotel room and it's like, good morning, Alexa, load customer profile 3187244.
Well, they point out, I can see some conveniences, like if you want more towels or pillows, or if you want your room cleaned, or if you want room service, you don't have to communicate with a human being. That's kind of cool. But people listening to all of your hotel activity, not as cool.
Seems like you could just have some buttons that are like, bring me some towels or whatever. That's what they do in Taiwan. Yeah. There's just a big old thing of buttons, and it's like you hit the thing, and it's like, yes, clean my room, and somebody immediately comes to clean your room. There's also a fallen in a bathtub button. You can hit that, and they're like, oh my God, did you fall in the bathtub? It's like, no, I just wondered what that button does.
I imagine that these are quite a bit cheaper than adding a unique button system and a, you know, software to run it.
What a time to be alive. It's like, rather than actually design a piece of technology to solve a problem, we're just going to put microphones and cameras everywhere and let the problem work itself out.
We've got an AI that you can talk to that replaces every interface. All right, it is kind of cool if it weren't for that whole surveillance aspect of it.
T-Mobile and Sprint have
Here's a product opportunity. We make little covers that deafen and blind the Alexa in the hotel room.
So you don't have to unplug it because it gets antsy if you unplug it?
I can see if you unplug it, you immediately get a phone call. It's like, sir, your Alexa's malfunctioning. We're sending a tech team.
It's like, no, it's not malfunctioning. I just don't like it. Can we sound like Luddites? It's crazy. Or is it? I think the news stories that we've covered have demonstrated that no, in fact, it is not. Because how long before it's like, you know, snoring man accidentally sends $300,000 from his bank account to Nigerian person. And it's like, well, it was a string of unfortunate speech recognition things because Alexa was like, yes, send, you know, Jimmy at Nigeriascam.com your money. And it just kept misinterpreting his snoring.
Well, that's exactly what happened with the woman who sent a recording of her conversation to somebody on her contact list.
Yeah.
The Alexa just kept assuming. It was like, well, that sounds like a confirmed to me. Let's keep going. Are you sure? Oh, that sounds like yes to me. Okay, let's send this.
Has the Amazon Alexa team tested Alexa for people with night terrors? Because that's probably another aspect that they really haven't beta tested. You just set up in the middle. It's like, call the police, call the police. It's no. It's fine. T-Mobile and Sprint have asked for merger approval. So they're going to merge.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't be allowed to merge, probably. This is on the heels of AT&T and Time Warner. And as predicted, right after the end of net neutrality, everybody wants to merge and take advantage of. Because now you can use your distribution platform to push your content. And that is exactly what they all want to do.
Didn't we predict that? I seem to remember us predicting that.
I think about half of the civilized world predicted that.
Engadget has an article on a digital key standard that uses your phone to unlock your car. Now, some cars already have this technology, but it's proprietary. This would standardize the technology to make it to where any phone could unlock any car.
Yeah, I was excited about this for one simple reason, and that could be remote start. Every car with this would have remote start, but it's near field, so that's not even true. Okay. So,
well, I mean, no, it depends on if you park your car close enough to your house, you probably could.
Yeah, you'd have to be really close, though.
Yeah. Well, I can with the Bluetooth. I mean, it's definitely the case that the Bluetooth features come on way, way before I'm anywhere near the car. So,
I think if I'm that, see, the reason I want remote start is when it's like snowing. So I'd still have to go out into the snow in many cases, but also it's just a terrible idea in terms of it's going to get hacked. And also this, what they're doing is they're just coming up with a standard. You won't get this for a couple of years at least.
Yeah. And the auto manufacturers have to agree that they're going to do this and they're going to resist because these are features that they charge extra for right now.
Yeah. I think Apple is with Volkswagen and Audi for theirs. Right now, that's the only one you can get it on. So then you lose that exclusivity. Do you want that? Do you throw away all that work you did? Maybe not.
Blue Origin is going to sell suborbital spaceflight tickets next year. And before you ask, no, you cannot afford them.
Well, they have not talked about a price yet. The Virgin Galactic, they started taking pre-orders in 2015. They have 700 people who put down a deposit to go to suborbital space.
That one was the one where the deposit was like $100,000, though, wasn't it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in going to suborbital space?
I mean, if I had $100,000 that I just didn't care about, or I was like dying of cancer or something, maybe.
There's so many things you could use $100,000 for. Because I don't imagine, you probably just get to unbuckle and float around a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the extent of it. You don't get to do anything really awesome. And how long could it possibly last?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody that works in the travel, like the travel agency business the other day, and they said that a lot of younger people are out for experiences more than like collecting things. So instead of like saving money or whatever, it's like, I want to go to South America and get ringworm.
I would love to EEG everybody as that shuttle's coming back down and measure their level of disappointment. Like, oh, this was $100,000.
Speaking of things that are disappointing, there's a brute force hack that can bypass the iPhone's passcode update. Maybe not. Apple says this doesn't work, but this security researcher says that if they send a packet to the phone through the wire that has multiple passcodes, the Apple unlock thing only counts it as one. Maybe that's how Graykey works, but Apple has said, no, we don't. We just don't even, like if you put in more digits than there is, we just don't even check those.
Well, it's the keyboard. So you simulate the keyboard to interrupt the login key-in process to manually enter your PIN. And what this guy did, he set that up and it was able to hit it over and over and over and over. But what Apple's saying is, when it actually goes to the security chip, if you keep interrupting it, it won't finish. Hmm. So it's not actually, it looks like it's testing all those PINs, but it isn't. At least that's what Apple says. But you're right about Gray Key, because remember last week, Apple did the 1 hour timeout thing, and the Gray Key people, according to the cops, were just like, oh, don't worry, we've already figured that out.
What does it mean? I would love to be like the chief security officer at Apple, because right now I would be doing, I mean, it would be like Game of Thrones. I would be setting up stuff for like fake law enforcement agencies and try to get Gray Key to spend stuff, because I've got that, I mean, just unlimited amount of cash. It would be the most fun job in the world, trying to figure out how these people are compromising your phones and, you know, surreptitiously gathering that information and, you know, unleashing a team of snipers in a foreign country or whatever. It would be amazing.
A team of snipers, huh?
Oh, was that out loud?
Do you think they have little Apple logos on their
on their weapons?
On, yeah, on each 308 cartridge?
macOS breaks your operational security by caching data from encrypted hard drives. This is the article that makes me doubt the veracity of Apple's claim. That's like, no, we're totally doing things correctly on the iPhone.
Yeah, this one's, I think this is probably the security team and the interface team never
talk to each other.
Yeah, they have no idea what the other one is doing. Because this seems like what, and they, I hate the word OPSEC. Oh my God.
So like technologist. I don't like the word technologist.
If you use the word OPSEC unironically, you should stop.
So the deal with this is that Apple really likes their high fidelity icons for documents. And there's a feature in the operating system called Quick Look. And everybody has known about this for years. And so if you have an encrypted document, it generates the thumbnail for it when it's unencrypted. And the thumbnail is so high fidelity that you can read the document from the icon that it generates.
And it leaves it. It leaves that icon in unencrypted disk space. So after you're done quick looking at your secret files, someone could come along and get them and read them from the image. So it's kind of pointless. And of course, this is only for things that can't, you know, like non-binary files. But still, it's a pretty huge security hole.
Maybe Apple's chief security officer is going to be asked to resign after this and the Gray Key nonsense, because clearly
they just hired an intern and they're like, seduce him.
That's how you do it in the Fortune 500, ladies and gentlemen. Ex-CIA engineer charged in Vault 7 leak. So this is the guy, it's the same guy that we reported on before that had the child pornography charges. It's just now they have actually formally charged him in the, what is probably the WikiLeaks Vault 7 leak, although the indictment doesn't actually say it's WikiLeaks.
This, I don't know, after reading about this and the evidence they claim to have against him and the tracks that he left, it seems like they've got a fairly good case. But I'm always a little bit suspicious when an enemy of the state all of a sudden has a bunch of child porn.
Well, it raises the question, is like, maybe he really did have that. But then there are a lot of tinfoil hat people that say that our intelligence organization uses that as a weapon
That's
to entrap other people.
Exactly, yeah. And it's one of those things where you can't defend against it. And when you go to prison for it, you're going to get killed or something in prison. I mean, it's a really, really horrific way. Yeah. It's like the Tommy Robinson thing. Have you been following that? Is it Robinson or Roberts? It's the guy in the UK. He was like a, you know, anti-immigration type of guy, and the government does not like that. So they trumped up some charges about him reporting on a case.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where they're not allowed to report on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so right after they did that, there was a big, you know, outcry about it. So they immediately moved him to the prison with the highest Muslim population in the UK.
That seems intentional.
Yeah, you think so? So, but yeah, they claim they found the child pornography for while they were investigating the Vault 7 stuff. So they're like, this guy's suspicious. Let's look into his files. And they found that. So I don't know. If it is true, he's in for a bad time.
It's going to be interesting to see what his lawyers say at court, because if this actually does go to court, it's going to be really revealing.
Well,
they
quoted him in that article, and they said they were baseless claims, but they were just talking about the Vault 7 stuff. They weren't mentioning anything about the existing charges, I don't think.
Hmm. China has apparently breached the satellite and satellite communication companies, according to Symantec. So this sounds really bad. Symantec is saying that there are multiple companies that are involved with satellite communication that China has breached far and wide, and they have control of civilian and military satellites.
Yeah, operational control. They didn't actually do anything, but these guys claim that they could have moved the satellites around if they wanted to, which would be very problematic for us in terms of military and in terms of GDP. I mean, that would, think about FedEx and GPS and the airlines and stuff.
You think the satellites have problems with the Meltdown Inspector and all that kind of stuff?
Think they're running Intel? That might be a little too power hungry for a satellite.
I read online that they were specially radiation hardened, like Intel 486 chips, like 386 and 486 chips, and that those were in a lot of satellites because they work really well in high radiation environments, and that smaller lithographies are problematic.
Well, there's no speculation there then, right?
Yeah.
So they're fine.
Woo! So, yeah, TL bleed, a crypto key leaking CPU attack that Intel reckons we shouldn't worry about. So how to extract 256-bit signing keys with 99.8% success. And Intel says, oh, it's not our fault. It's operating system people that are at fault here.
Yeah, they're claiming. So the idea here is you have hyper-threading, so you have two things running on the same core. One of those things can eventually spy on the other thing if you use machine learning to extract the thing through the exploit, and then machine learning can break it down and figure out what cryptographic keys were running on the other one.
This is going to lead to more bad things. Like, the only workaround for this is, one, disable hyper-threading, or two, completely rewrite the scheduler so that jobs that are running in different security contexts are not running on the same true core. And that's what Intel is saying here. Intel is saying this is an operating system designer's fault. You should never have a high security process running on one thread and a user's process running on another thread that are actually running on the same core. And that just seems so disingenuous that it makes me angry.
Yeah, I don't think they ever thought that through when they first did this. For most users, this is not a big deal because you'd have to already have malware on your system, or somebody would have to have access to your system. At that point, you're probably already compromised beyond anything to worry about. But of course, we live in the cloud now, right? You're talking about Amazon AWS, so you don't know who's sharing your core at any given time.
Oh, that's not good. VDI and sharing your core. It's like, so what you're telling me is that the secretary, the little old lady secretary with her VDI, that's on the same physical hardware as somebody with secret clearance, the information could be leaked from one VDI to another if they happen to share the same core for whatever reason. That seems really
bad.
Well,
if the little old lady has machine learning experience,
you'll know something is... Well, she just clicks on the wrong document attachment. So OpenBSD, which is a distribution of BSD that is very security-oriented, has decided to disable hyper-threading support in response to this.
Let's check out that stock photo. She's threading a needle. Get it? Very clever.
I didn't even pay attention to the stock photo. My brain just filtered
that out.
Well, I mean,
you look at it and you're like, what does this have to do? Oh, yeah, she's threading a needle.
Yeah, so hyper-threading, not good. By the way, apparently AMD's not affected, but the jury's still out a little bit on that. But we reported last week on the floating point problem. AMD's not affected by that. And it doesn't seem like AMD's going to be affected by this either.
You think Krasnich, he opened up his paper on his yacht this morning and he looked at that headline and he just chuckled and he's like, that's not my problem anymore.
I mean, he was 59. You got to figure that he's definitely got enough money to just go ahead and retire early. So,
oh my God, enough money? I mean, he's got to be in like tens, if not hundreds of millions, right?
I think he was earning $20,000 a day.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
So, it's exciting times. All right, we'll see you in the next one. What's that? What's in the next episode?
Next is government and artificial intelligence and robots.